And welcome back. This is Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kraske. Despite high-profile sexual assaults, hazing deaths, and many other controversies, Greek life has been a cornerstone of college campuses for years. Is 2021 the year that we reform the system once and for all? Or should it just be dismantled entirely at this point? That's the conversation underway on many college campuses in the U.S. right now, partly inspired by the nation's racial reckoning over the last year. At Washington University in St. Louis, nearly half of the students belonging to sororities and fraternities have canceled their memberships, and two sororities have actually completely folded. Meantime, at the University of Kansas in Lawrence, students are trying to reform the system. Sorority members started a movement called Strip Your Letters over the summer, and it's since been picked up by the Campus Fraternity Council, as well as other college campuses in the U.S. This is a big issue with lots of deep roots. Here to talk to us about it are Nkemjika Emenika, is a sophomore at Washington University in St. Louis and Speaker of the Student Union Senate. She's also a former sorority member and the former Diversity and Inclusion Chair for the Student Union. Nkemjika, it's nice to have you. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. It's good to be here.
Mark Nichols is a junior at KU in Lawrence and co-founder of Strip Your Letters IFC, an organization challenging KU fraternities to stop their toxic practices. He's also a former frat member and a former director of PR for the Interfraternity Council on campus. Mark, nice to have you.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having me.
We'd like our listeners to weigh in here. What do you think? Has the time come for sororities and fraternities to go away on college campuses, or is there still a place for them? Our number, 816-235-2888, or you can tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. And Nkemjika, why are so many people leaving Greek life at Wash U right now? What's going on?
Yeah, I think particularly over the summer of 2020, when we see, you know, protests regarding Black Lives Matter and racial tension and racial violence and things like that. And kind of, I think, the conversation around what systems in our nation do we keep and what systems in our nation are built on foundations that are just fundamentally unable to change for the better. And I think, So on our campus, I think Greek life has always been kind of a topic where students feel as though, I think prior to that, students understood that it was a really problematic system. It perpetuated a lot of things that I don't think many students stand for. But there was this kind of culture of, if you wanted to have a social life, if you wanted to party, if you wanted to have friends, you needed to join Greek life. And I think when we saw those protests, when we started having that national conversation around abolition versus reform, and kind of just tearing down systems that we don't need anymore, I think Greek life was something that a lot of us pointed to as, you know, we don't need to subscribe to this sort of system that is really not benefiting anybody. I mean, many of the women have faced sexual assault in Greek life from other members of Greek life, particularly fraternity men. There's a lot of hazing that goes on. It's not really accessible to people of lower socioeconomic status. It's not really friendly to the LGBTQ community on campus. Just a couple of things, but.
Mark, I'm wondering what you're seeing over at KU. Are you seeing less interest in Greek life these days over there?
Yeah, I would say overall, as I was kind of leaving IFC, we saw more disinterest based around, I think, COVID, and less because of the problematic behaviors that some fraternities and sororities have. But most of the problematic behaviors that we were seeing were being called out by fellow students and peers instead of the new incoming students.
So you're saying it's more because what's the biggest factor here? Is it COVID or is it the behavior at fraternities and sororities?
I would say the disinterest over the past year has been mostly because of COVID, but you always have dissent from, not dissent, but people who have ideas of Greek life already, and most of them are usually true, or at least have some validation in them, and they come in freshman year, and then that's kind of the disinterest that spreads.
Right.
But over the past kind of year, we've seen more of a disinterest based around COVID.
I thought it was interesting, Mark. Nkemjika just used the phrase unable to change to describe fraternities, sororities, the Greek life in general. Is that an accurate description in your view?
I would say it is fairly accurate, yeah. We have problems with creating change that's going to be lasting and actually going to make an impact. We like to do smaller things, I feel like, than trying to take those big steps forward that we need to do. And I think it is very hard as usually one person in a 60-person organization to change something, and gathering people around an idea like that is usually difficult.
Nkemjika, I just want to point out that you recently left your sorority. Why did you do it?
Yeah, I think many women on our campus had decided to deactivate. I was one of them. I think it was just, I mean, for me personally, I'm a low-income student. I'm an African-American student. I'm an Asian-American student. I think, having said all that, I think my experience in Greek life wasn't the worst experience, right? I met a lot of great people, and like people that I still talk to this day. But I was paying like my own dues out of pocket, and they were like 600 something, I think, a semester. I didn't feel comfortable going to any of the mixers we had with fraternities, just because I did not feel comfortable in any of those houses at all. And there were many, and most of that was because there were older sisters in my sorority at the time who were like, oh yeah, we like tend to not go to this fraternity because like they have like a pending case on sexual assault going on right now. And like, that's just not a comfortable feeling. And I think at the time when I was a freshman and seeing all like the older women in the years above me, obviously like not necessarily not that they thought that those behaviors were okay, but they were just kind of like, there's nothing I can do about it.
Right.
Just because that's just the social life and the social system that we're in. I was just kind of like, okay, this is just, I guess, how things are. And I think when we all started having those conversations around, okay, this is not how things have to be, I think that's when I was like, okay, I don't.
Right.
Like, there, we have a mass movement of women who are deciding, no, this isn't okay, and I'm deactivating from their sorority. And I think that made it a lot easier for me.
No, you're describing life at sororities. What about fraternities over at WashU?
In terms of how they've changed or how...
Are people leaving there too?
People have, not as much, no. I think they've had a pretty good recruitment year this year. I think, yeah, most fraternities are still up and running pretty, with like pretty high membership. I wouldn't say the same thing about sororities on campus.
Has Greek life run its course on this nation's college campuses? That's our topic here. Our phone number, 816-235-2888. Let's go to Nancy from Kansas City, Missouri. Nancy, you're on the show.
Thank you. I just had a couple of comments. One is, I think that sororities and fraternities should not be necessarily always lumped together in this discussion. In my experience, and I will admit I don't know much about it, KU, I do know about it, MU. the fraternity is a whole different thing than the sororities. It seems like the sororities' whole aim was to make you able to succeed. Fraternities was how hard can they make it for you to succeed? And because of that, it just doesn't seem very fair. And as far as change goes, to lump them together when you're talking about hazing and so forth, as far as change goes, I know that at Missouri, at least the sorority that I was in, changed in order to avoid any thought of hazing of pledges and so forth, which, by the way, I will say the most hazing, the thing identified as hazing that they eliminated was required study halls, which I didn't consider hazing too much, but was to shorten the pledgeship dramatically to a period, and calling it pledge education, to a period of 4 to 6 weeks instead of a semester and a half. So I think there have been changes. I think there can be changes. I think changes are needed. I do not condone any of the amazing sorts of things, but I think that there is a big difference overall in general of the sorority
right.
participation in that and fraternities.
Nancy, I appreciate those comments. Mark, react to that if you would. You're over at KU. Is she making a good point that we shouldn't lump frats and sororities in together?
I think definitely, yeah. Overall, in our kind of situation at KU, sorority women are a little more likely to change or to acknowledge a problematic behavior and move on. I will say they not all of them will do it, just because not everyone is up to be able to do that. But sororities are definitely better able to change and have those conversations than fraternity men are. And overall, I think sorority women definitely are less of they have less of like the hazing and sexual assault allegations against them.
Right.
But the problem is with like where Strip Your Letters has kind of focused is like things such as recruitment requirements, such as like a flat iron requirement, or like things, problematic behavior like fat phobia and racism still that are present in sororities.
You know, Mark, I wonder if we can just cut through the mustard here a little bit. I mean, I think a lot of people would sort of raise questions about the idea that you throw a bunch of young men together on a college campus in a house, you throw alcohol into the mix, and you got trouble. You know, is it any more complicated than that for a lot of people?
I would say from an outsider standpoint, most of the time a fraternity is exactly that. Like you're asking for a pot of trouble. But I feel like overall, there is a lot more that happens than just drinking and partying at a fraternity. But yes, there is problematic behaviors that definitely will come of that.
Let's just be clear. There's a lot more that goes on than what I just said. But that aspect, that component of Greek life has caused a whole lot of heartache for a whole lot of people over the years.
Right. Yeah. And I think none of those behaviors should be able to be a thing. A lot of the times, IFC is very reactionary about that here. So the Interfraternity Council, they hear allegations and they have anonymous forms to be submitted so that action can be taken in order for those behaviors to be stopped. But realistically, yeah, it is a group of men in a house that are possibly drinking, and then problematic behaviors do come of that.
Let's go to Bill from Overland Park. Bill, you're on Up to Date.
Thank you, Steve. Great show. I appreciate it.
You bet.
My son's a senior at Oklahoma State University, and when he was looking at going to OSU, he looked into the fraternity system in Stillwater, and we didn't like what we saw, and so he ended up joining a non-residential fraternity, which means that they don't have a house on campus, but they have the same organizational structure. And 4 years later, it's been a great experience for him, because the problems that you guys are talking about that are part of fraternity and sorority life don't seem to have migrated to the non-residential. I mean, they're involved in the Interfraternity Council. They do the spring sing. They do everything else that a fraternity does, but they don't have a house, and they don't seem to have the issues of drinking and, you know, behavior that's not becoming of anybody. So there is alternatives to the traditional fraternity and sorority system. That's my point.
Bill, I think that's a great great comment. I appreciate receiving that. Mark, if you would, talk to us a little bit about Strip Your Letters and what that initiative is, what changes you want to see at KU.
Yeah, so Strip Your Letters was a movement created by sorority women last summer, as you said. They were fed up with the inactivity of Panhellenic and IFC. And so they decided that the main goal, what we want to do, is create change. And so creating change, the best way is by basically striking, by ripping away the advertisement power from Panhellenic and IFC in order to make them change. Because if you no longer have advertisement, you're no longer recruiting actively for them, then you're going to have problems because you're no longer bringing in members. And we are organizations and we want more members to bring in. And so stopping that kind of created the conversation to keep going forward. And a lot of the issues I think that we were seeing originally were I can't say your name. I'm so sorry. I forgot it.
Yeah.
And Kemjika, thank you so much. I'm so sorry. But Nkem Jika kind of said the same thing, the racial issues that were happening last year and the protests and everything, and we were kind of seeing inactivity from them. So it stemmed from that, and then it's kind of gone on to be, let's look at all of the things that we've done in sorority and fraternity life that have excluded someone from joining our organization, because we want everyone to be able to join, because they are good organizations. Yeah. As Bill said, I was in an unhoused fraternity originally, and it was great. I loved it. And I think seeing those problematic behaviors and then trying to change them, even in the slightest way possible, to be able to get more people to be involved would make it a less exclusive process and would allow for greater reform.
And Kim Jika, what is the connection as you see it between the sort of racial reckoning that's going on in this country and what happened at WashU and what's happening at so many campuses where people are taking a harder look at Greek life? What is the connection there?
Yeah, I think the conversation we're having on WashU's campus is around predominantly white fraternities and sororities. Mm-hmm. We're not really looking at cultural organizations, because a lot of those organizations were founded because at the basis in the history of these historically white fraternities and sororities, Black people weren't allowed in, Asian people weren't allowed in, Latinx people weren't allowed in, right? So I think there's that conversation of like history. And I think also just like, what are little things and biases that we might not recognize would keep people of different racial backgrounds out of our organizations, that like are inherently going to keep them out of these organizations or not make them feel welcome or safe in these organizations. And the fact that like most of them are predominantly white, and the spaces that we do have, which are fraternity houses where we can socialize, are predominantly taken up by white cis het men.
Well, what kind of changes do you want to see to Greek life on your campus? What are one or two things that you'd like to see go on there?
Yeah, so I think the mention of houses, I think, is a really good point. Mm-hmm. I don't think that all the problems stem from the houses. I still think there would be a lot of systemic issues that you would have without houses, because our sororities on our campus did not have houses. And we still had a lot of issues, not as much as the fraternity houses, but I think one thing we've been really trying to push, both members of Greek life and members like myself who aren't in Greek life anymore, or people who are never in Greek life, is dehousing of fraternities. Our fraternity houses on our campus are located in a really prime location. They're really accessible. And I think to give those houses to students who may need them for accessibility reasons, or to reallocate those houses to cultural groups, or make them live learning spaces, would be a much better use of that space than giving them to fraternities. I think the problem with that has been that they have contracts for a really long time. Right. There are some fraternal organizations that say in their constitution, if you don't have a house, you're not an organization and you can't be an organization on this campus. So that's one issue. I think another issue people are trying to raise is just to make it more equitable by eliminating dues, which I don't know how feasible that would be, considering that the whole point of one of the big points of being in an organization is that you're paying dues to be a member of that organization. Obviously, it would make it more equitable for people to be in that organization if no one had to pay anything to be a part of it. But I think if you're proposing that solution, I think you're going to run into the issue that of, okay, this is not a sorority or fraternity anymore. This is a club, right? And so and I think that's what people are starting to reckon with, is that there are a lot of things that we like from our organization that honestly could just be made into an outside organization. It does not need to be a fraternity or a sorority or affiliated with Greek life.
Let me go back to some phone calls here. Aaron from Overland Park. Aaron, you're on Up to Date.
Good morning, Steve. I'm the executive director of the Kansas Fraternity Landlords League. We're comprised of 11 of the house corporation boards that own fraternity houses in Lawrence. My comments are only limited to KU, but the studies that we have done in the last several years using KU's own data, listeners should know that Greek fraternity men at the University of Kansas have higher GPAs than the rest of the student body. They graduate in 4 years at a higher rate than the rest of the student body. They come back. The retention rate after their freshman year is higher than the rest of the student body.
Why is that, Aaron? What's the cause of that?
We believe, number one, because the GPA requirements of living and remaining in the house once you have become a member keep people motivated to study harder and keep those grades up. And then also the having the mentors, having a close group of men that you're living with that you can talk to about classes and having that fellowship, basically, that if you need someone to talk to about grades, you've got a built-in support system.
Right, right. I appreciate the phone call, Aaron. Thank you. Let's go to Sam here. Sam from Kansas City, Missouri. Sam, you're on Up to Date. We're talking about Greek life on college campuses.
Hello, Steve. This is Sam Mann, your old buddy.
Hi, Sam.
I think you need to draw a distinction between white Greek organizations and black Greek organizations. I don't know if you have. I just tuned in. But the kind of behavior you're talking about right now is mainly associated with white Greek organizations. And I think that there's the reason for existence of black Greek organizations was a lot of times for uplift and for scholarship.
Right. I appreciate that, Sam.
I think you need to make that distinction.
Very good. I appreciate that phone call. Mark, at the end of the day, do you think there's a future for Greek life at KU and across the country?
I definitely think since it's such an institution, it is going to be a future, if not just for the near future, but I'd say for the foreseeable future. But I definitely think calls for reform will start popping up more and more often as more and more of these instances happen that these problematic behaviors are seen by the wide public.
Right. And Kimjika, do you think there's a future or would you change things?
I genuinely don't. I think there might be a future. Again, I think, as was just said, it's an institution. I think it's going to persevere.
But you have your doubts.
I have my doubts of how inclusive it will be. I mean, I think a lot of the pros brought, and just to clarify, there definitely is a distinction between black and white,
right,
fraternal and Greek organizations. I mentioned earlier, but yeah, I think a lot of the pros, like that was just mentioned, like higher GPAs, like, okay, that's like accounted to the fact that, right, like a lot of these organizations have back files of a lot of the tests that people have taken over the past years. And so a lot of men in these organizations are cheating on the tests. Men and women are cheating on tests.
Right.
Because they have access to those things. A lot of them are of like higher income, so they have access to things like tutors and things like that. I think there are a lot of systemic things.
And Kimjika, we're going to have to leave it right there. I'm simply out of time. But that's the voice of Nkemjika Emenike, a sophomore at WashU, also joined by Mark Nichols, a junior at KU and a co-founder of Strip Your Letters, IFC. Hey, thank you both for your time today. Really interesting conversation, and I'm sorry we didn't have more time for it.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. That's it for today. You've been listening to Up to Date on KCUR 89.3. We'll see you tomorrow.